إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه: ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us about the promise of Shaytan in His kitab. And He said subhanahu wa ta'ala that Iblis, the head of the shayateen, he said to Allah jalla wa ala, then I will come to them, meaning the creation, the children of Adam. I will come to them from in front of them and from behind them, from their right sides and from their left sides. And you will find most of them will not be thankful to you. So we know that Shaytan will have many different weapons and many different techniques to try and take the people out of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and place them into darkness. Take them out of the light of Iman and put them into the darkness of disbelief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to strengthen mankind and in order to allow them to have something to return to, He has created something called a fitrah. And a fitrah is a natural inclination that Allah Jalla wa Ala has placed within the body of every individual, a natural inclination to guidance and a natural inclination to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says Jalla wa Ala in the Quran, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, that direct your face to the correct and upright religion. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, it is the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this natural inclination that Allah jalla wa ala He has created within the people. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ, it will not change, a person should not change this fitrah, this creation of Allah jalla wa ala should not be changed. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ, this is the upright religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most of the people do not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this natural inclination in our hearts. And this natural inclination is to recognize Allah and to allow us to understand that only He deserves to be worshipped. This natural inclination, it allows us to know what is good from evil. So some of the things that we know which are good from evil is from our minds. And other things Allah jalla wa ala will tell us in His sharia subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have this fitrah within ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to protect and preserve this fitrah at all costs. And the moment we begin to compromise any part of the fitrah, we will begin to lose our religion. So to sum up this fitrah, it is everything that Allah jalla wa ala has commanded. And it is to stay away from everything that Allah jalla wa ala has prohibited. And everything Allah jalla wa ala has praised and glorified, then this is our fitrah and it tells us to do this. And everything Allah jalla wa ala has warned us against, then our fitrah tells us to stay away from this. So in a nutshell, it means we have to understand al-Islam. And if we ever compromise a part of our Islam, it would lead us to compromising our entire Islam. And we find this is mentioned in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith which is muttafaqun alayh from the authority of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كانت بنو إسرائيل يغتسلون عراتا ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض, that Bani Israel, when they used to shower, when they used to bath, they used to bath naked, And they used to look at each other. وَكَانَ مُوسَى يَغْتَسِلُ وَحْدَهُ But Musa alayhi salam, he used to have a bath by himself. فَقَالُوا وَاللَّهِ مَا يَمْنَعُ مُوسَى أَنْ يَغْتَسِلَ مَعْنَا إِلَّا أَنَّهُ آدَرُ They said, by Allah, nothing prevents Musa from showering and bathing with us except that he has a deficiency in his private parts. فَذَهَبَ مَرَّةً يَغْتَسِلُ So Musa alayhi salam, one day he went to have a bath. فَوَضَعَ ثَوْبَهُ عَلَى حَجَرٍ And he placed his garments on a rock. فَفَرَّ الْحَجَرُ بِثَوْبِهِ So the rock, it ran away with the garment of Musa alayhi salam. فَخَرَجَ مُوسَى فِي إِثْرِهِ So Musa alayhi salam, he left chasing the rock. يَقُولُ ثَوْبِي يَا حَجَرُ He said, my thobe, my garments, O stone. حَتَّى نَظَرَتْ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ إِلَى مُوسَى Until Banu Israel were able to see Musa alayhi salam. Because he never had his clothes on. So they said, وَاللَّهِ مَا بِمُوسَى مِنْ بَأْسٍ By Allah, there is no deficiency in Musa. وَأَخَذَ ثَوْبَهُ فَطَفِقَ بِالْحَجَرِ ضَرْبًا So Musa alayhi salam took his thobe and then he began to beat the rock. فقال أبو هريرة أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه وأرضاه said والله إنه لندب بالحجر ستة أو سبعة سبعة ضربا بالحجر He said by Allah there are six or seven marks left on that stone What is the benefit that we can derive from this hadith? Allah جل وعلا has given us a fitra a natural inclination to al-Islam and a natural inclination to good etiquettes and conduct and from our fitra is al-haya is shyness Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْحَيَاءُ لَا يَأْتِي إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ That shyness does not bring anything except for goodness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَرَّ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُ أَخَاهُ فِي الْحَيَاءُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past a man from the Ansar and he was trying to tell his brother about haya because his brother had a lot of haya. So he was trying to say, look, you have too much haya, lessen your haya. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, دَعْهُ فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ Leave him because haya is from Iman. So this is shyness, it is from Iman. So for a person to expose himself in front of the people, this goes against Iman, and this goes against shyness, and this goes against fitrah. It is easy for Allah Jalla wa Ala to command Musa alayhi salam, to say, Oh Musa, expose yourself to Bani Israel to clear your name. But if he does this, what would he do? He would compromise his fitrah. So what did Allah Jalla wa Ala do? He changed the laws of his creation. And he puts life into it, this stone. So this stone can run away with the clothes of Musa. So Musa does not have to compromise his fitrah. Rather, Bani Israel will see that there is no deficiency in Musa and he still has not compromised his fitrah, alayhi salam. So the ulama, they derive from this narration that irrespective of the circumstances, the moment we begin to compromise our religion, And the moment we begin to compromise our fitrah, it will be the stepping stones to leaving the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once our principles become weak and our foundations begin to crumble, then we will lose that which is above, and that is our Islam and our Iman. So this tells us that irrespective of the circumstances and what we are going through, we have to hold on to the principles of al-Islam and we do not compromise these principles for anyone or for anything. Now shaitan, he comes with different ideologies and he comes with different tactics and techniques to try and take us away from our deen, to try and take us away from al-Islam. And one of the ideologies that he comes with today is the ideology that attacks the fitrah in and of itself. It is not too worried about Islam or any other religion because it knows that if it attacks the fitrah, that which the human beings naturally are inclined to, that which Allah Jalla wa Ala created them upon, if they were to weaken these beliefs, then it will destroy everything that follows it. So what did they try and do? They try and attack the fitrah. And this is what we know today as liberalism. Liberalism attacks the fitrah. It tells the human being, your mind is in control of your body. And whatever your mind sees befitting for your body, then this is what is befitting for you. If anything is going to harm you, then ward it off, irrespective of what it is. So your mind has become your lord. As Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, they have taken their desires as their lord. Their mind has become their lord. Now we know the Sharia of Allah Jalla wa'ala, it does not conflict the sound mind. But the societies around us, when they push certain agendas, it already corrupts the mind. And then they tell this mind to govern the body and leave the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what liberalism is. They claim that they give a human being complete freedom. And they have certain foundations that they are built upon. But their main priority is to attack the fitrah and make that which is halal haram and that which is haram halal. and change the way that we think and we perceive life. So we do not turn to Allah Jalla wa Ala and obey His commands. Rather, we obey our desires and we try and seek that which we desire in order to be successful in this world. Now, from the foundations of liberalism is materialism. Materialism is one of the greatest foundations of liberalism, one of the greatest principles of liberalism. And Allah Jalla wa Ala warns us about this in the Quran. Because whatever you are able to seek, you should seek it, irrespective of how you attain it, but you should seek it. And the more you have in this world, the happier you would be. So there is no attention given to the hereafter. Rather, everything is placed and focused in this world. And if we begin to have this mentality, we will fall into the path of the liberalists. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. Whoever wants the adornments of this world and this life, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. We will give them what they want in this life, and they will not be decreased from anything in this life. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. They have nothing in the hereafter except for the fire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And everything that they did from the good in this world has been destroyed because they took their reward for it in this world. So Allah Jalla wa Ala tells us, if you seek this life and you seek the possessions of this life without focusing on the hereafter, then you would lose everything. And Iblis, he knew this. And he knew one of the greatest ways to distract Bani Adam from Al-Islam and from Allah Jalla wa Ala is by materialism. So Iblis, he began to present them a tree that was in Jannah. Every tree was allowed for Adam alayhi salam and his wife in Jannah, except for one tree. So Iblis now wanted to use the tactics that the liberalists are using today, that he has planted in their minds, to try and divert Adam alayhi salam from the tree. So what did he do? هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. He named the tree. He called it the tree of eternity. Did Allah Jalla wa Ala call the tree of eternity? No. So he named it the tree of eternity. Now when you name something, you give it a great name like this, it draws the hearts towards it. It draws the mind towards it. And then he said, وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prohibit you from this tree except that you would become two angels or you would live for eternity. So he has told them a reward for it now. Something that they desire. You can live here forever. You can be angels greater than your status, trying to lure them into this. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He made an oath. And you only make an oath after you tell someone something again and again and again. So repetition. He kept on telling them again and again until he made an oath. And then he said, إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I am from those who are sincere to you. So he told him, I was an advisor. I want good for you. All of this for what? For one tree. All of this to tell them, look, everything that you have, forget about it. This is the one thing that you need. And this has entered the minds and the hearts of Muslims today. Irrespective of how we will acquire a house, whether it is through a mortgage which is halal or haram, we are going to acquire the house because this is what we want. Irrespective of this, of whatever work we are doing and our livelihood, we want money, we want to survive, we want to live lavishly. So we are going to do whatever it takes. This is materialism. This is what Shaitan began with to try and take Adam alayhi salam and his wife out of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about this. And He said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain piety until you spend from that which you love. Meaning, start to give up what you love and you will protect your religion. Acquire, try and seek what you love in haram, you will lose your religion. But try and give up what you love. When Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke about the Ansar, He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Well, He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they began to prefer others over themselves. They began to prefer others over themselves. So whenever they had something, if they found that someone never had it, even though this was beloved to them, they gave it up. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw his companions were extremely poor. But even though they were extremely poor, they will be in the highest Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr, he is greater than the entire Ummah put together. Umar, after Abu Bakr, is greater than the entire Ummah put together because they gave up what they had. They never had this attachment to the dunya. They never looked at this and said, look, our aqal is telling us, our mind is telling us we need to gather more and more and more. No, they knew that the true life is the life of the hereafter. So they began to prefer the hereafter over this life. And this is how they crumbled one of the foundations, the greatest foundations of liberalism. And that's why they were a successful nation. Also, we find from the foundations of liberalism is what they call hurriya, complete freedom. So they say a human being has the freedom to do whatever he wants. And they look at the verse in the Kitab of Allah Jalla wa Ala, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. They say, look, a human being has freedom to do whatever he wants. He has the right to do whatever he wants. Now we as Muslims have to be very careful with the words that we use. Does a human being has the right to do whatever he wants? No, because if he had the right to do whatever he wanted, he would not be punished if he chose whichever path he chose. So the fact that he will be punished for being upon disbelief, or if he is a believer, he deserves to be punished if he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows that he does not have the right to do whatever he wants. Allah Jalla wa Ala has told us, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Allah Jalla wa Ala said, and you have not been commanded except that you make your worship to Allah Jalla wa Ala, staying away from disbelief. You establish the salah, you give the zakah, وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَ. And this is the upright religion. So he has told us, we have been commanded to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our body has a right that it obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has a right upon us that we use it to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our lives have rights upon us that we use our lives to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not have the right to do whatever we want. But liberalism tells us, you are your own person. You can do whatever you want to do. You will not be held accountable by anyone. So you can do and choose your path. We say no. We have our bodies and our lives have the right upon us that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the right of our bodies is that we worship Allah. We have the freedom to choose what we want to do. But the right is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we choose a path that goes against this right, we deserve to be punished. And if we choose a path that coincides with this right, then we deserve to be rewarded. So this is the meaning of freedom in al-Islam. That freedom in Islam doesn't mean we have the right to choose whatever we want to do. No, freedom means that we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we fulfill the rights of our bodies and our lives. So this is the second principle that the liberalists they use against the believers. The third is the notion of equality amongst mankind. Now they say we have all been created and we are all human beings. So we are equal to one another. A man is equal to a woman and a woman is equal to a man. An adult is equal to a child, and a child is equal to an adult, and everyone is equal. And this goes against the core principles of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's religion is not a religion of equality. Allah's religion is the religion of justice. Because equality means making one person or one thing like the other thing. But justice is giving everyone their due rights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a religion of justice. And He has not made this a religion of equality. And how can we be treated equally when we are different? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أَرِجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are the maintainers of women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is the right of the wife that the husband, he provides for her. He gives her shelter. He gives her clothing. He gives her food. It's a right that she has. It's not his right that she pays for him. And this is justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is justice from Allah Jalla wa Ala that everything that He has revealed in His Sharia is from His infinite knowledge because He is Al-Alim, from His infinite wisdom because He is Al-Hakim, and from His infinite justice because He is Al-Adl subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Jalla wa Ala, His religion is based upon justice and His religion is not based upon equality. Allah Jalla wa Ala does not make two people equal, but He rewards them based on the deeds that they do and the amount they exert for His sake subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the principles of liberalism was equality, but Islam is not a religion of equality, it is a religion of justice. Would it be equal now for us now to treat someone who is a child the same as we treat an adult? Is it fair to treat them like this? This is what equality is. If two people are biologically different, is it from justice to treat them equal? No. So when equality is justice, Islam affirms and approves of equality. And when equality is injustice, then Allah Jalla wa Ala, He rejects it. And Islam rejects it. And we deny it completely. And these are from the principles of liberalism that we find. We also find from the principles of liberalism is selfishness. For a person to want to succeed, irrespective of what happens to the people around him. So we will always give ourselves priority. And we do not think about the rest of the creation of Allah Jalla wa Ala. But when we look at the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we find? The greatest principle of the Sharia, or the greatest objective of the Sharia, is the preservation of religion. This is the greatest objective of Sharia. And after the preservation of religion, it is either the preservation of life or the preservation of honor. And there's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama regarding it. But the preservation of religion is the greatest objective of the Sharia. So Allah Jalla wa Ala has legislated jihad, where a person may lose his life in order to preserve the religion. Because the religion is the fitrah. And the fitrah needs to be preserved in every human being. And this is what we have to focus on, how to preserve our fitrah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله جل وعلا فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about our fitrah, about this natural inclination that He has placed in our hearts. And He has told us that this should not be changed. So we need to educate ourselves about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the commands of Allah and what are His prohibitions? What are the etiquettes that the believers must adorn themselves with? What are the boundaries of the Sharia so we do not cross it? And once we understand the boundaries of the Sharia and the commands and prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the etiquettes that are required for the believer, we will understand how to regulate our fitrah. Because if something now opposes this understanding, then we know that taking any steps towards it will affect our Islam. And taking any steps towards it may destroy or pollute our fitrah. And the weaker our fitrah becomes, the harder it will be for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we have now principles that we find today, where we are told to accept everything that we see outside, or accept everything that is being legislated. And this, does it go against our fitrah? Yes, it goes against our fitrah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us stories in His Quran where Allah Jalla wa Ala has destroyed nations for certain practices. So if He has destroyed nations for certain practices, how can we accept this? And how can we be happy with this? If a person does this, he can do what he wants. Does he have the right to do this? No. Does he have the freedom to do it? Yes. So he doesn't have the right to do this because we believe he will be held accountable by Allah Jalla wa Ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah if he practices this. But in the society that we are living in, he has the freedom to do it. But we as believers have to understand there is a red line in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot approach this line, nor can we cross this. And this, if it goes against our fitrah, we must understand that this is something which is detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the believers have to detest it. This is something that Allah Jalla wa'ala does not approve of, nor does He accept. So the believers, we cannot approve of it, nor can we accept it. And when our children are young, and the youth are learning about life, the first thing that enters their hearts and their minds will be their default position. And anything else that comes to them now, if you want to destroy the default position, you have to bring evidences. So it is important that our Muslim children understand the principles of the Sharia. And they understand the fitrah. So this remains as their default position. So if anything comes to them now, they need to prove it to them in order to crumble the foundations that have been made. And it is obligatory upon the parents and the guardians of the Muslim children to bring them up upon Islam and to ensure that their fitrah is intact. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to protect us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path and to allow our fitrah to remain strong within us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our Islam and our Iman and allow us to die when we are in the peak of our Iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the goodness of this life and to give us the goodness of the hereafter and to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين يا رب العالمين. اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا ومؤيدا وظهيرا. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من قبضة اليهود ومن كل كافر طاغوت يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بأعداء المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم احصهم عددا وقتلهم بددا ولا تغادر منهم أحدا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة.